So Luke chapter 7 and verse 36, I'm going to read to you as we go down through verse 47. I want you to try your best to follow along with what's going on in the story. All right, I'm going to read to you and then I'll explain it a little bit. Chapter 7 and verse 36 of Luke. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the anointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. As I mentioned earlier when I started, I just wanted to start off and apologize to the congregation that it's taken me 10 months to preach on this truth. Because, as I mentioned before, it's not about the duty of Christ. It's about loving Christ, which brings the duty of Christ. And I haven't preached on that too often. So the last 10 months I've been preaching on how to grow in him, how to serve him, how to live for him, all the while assuming that we've already loved him. I've preached on sin and how to live for Christ, but I feel I've missed a tremendous opportunity to help each of us fall in love with the Christ in which we serve. So this morning I'd like to preach on that. I'd like to preach on how to fall in love with Christ. I'll pray and you can be seated. Father, help us. Father, help me. Please be with the lesson, be with the message. Help it in our hearts and in our minds. God, help us to love you more. Thank you so much for all that you've done for us. May we walk away loving you more this morning because of what's done now. Please be with me as I preach. Speak through me, I pray. Work in the hearts, open the minds of the people. Stir the saint this morning. Save the sinner, the one that's lost and dying on their way to hell. I pray they'd come to know Christ this morning. And the one that's been saved for years, but we've been dead in sin. Lord, I pray that you would revive us this morning through your service and through your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. By way of introduction, let's go back to our text. So, if you recognize the story, I want you to see what's truly going on here. So Simon, a Pharisee. So a Pharisee is a religious person who doesn't love Christ. That's the base just of what a Pharisee is. They're religious, they're spiritual, so to speak, but they don't love Christ the way they ought to. That's what's happened with most churches this day and age. Most of our churches are full with Pharisees. They're full of people who want to out of the duty for Christ and they want to serve in the ritual of Christ, but they don't love Christ. You can do that, by the way. Some of us have been here for years doing it. I've done it at times in my life. But in verse 36, Simon, that Pharisee, asked Christ to come and sit with him. recognize what she's doing. In verse 37, behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. So here you have, this is a woman of the street. This is a prostitute. This is a harlot. She's not living for God, but she recognizes Christ and she wants him. She doesn't want him to pay money. She wants him to forgive sin. So she comes in with the only thing she has, which is an alabaster box of ointment. She comes in with a box of ointment, and no questions asked, she stands behind him, knowing the sin in which she's in, weeping, and just can't believe that the Savior that is going to save her soul is right in front of her. And she does the only thing she knows to do. She starts to clean his feet with everything she has, including the hair on her head. This is a lady who recognized her sin, who recognized the Savior for who he was. But a Pharisee, Simon, look at verse 39. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself. What that means is, he was saying it up here, not right here. Simon was saying it in his head. And he said within himself, saying, this man, if he were who he says he is, if this is Christ, who he said he really is, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. So the Pharisee, the spiritual one, the ritualistic one, the legalistic one, who's more worried about doing things right in the church than loving the Christ of the church, he's more worried about those things. And he says, well, if you really knew who you were talking to, you wouldn't be treating her that way. But Jesus answered him. Simon said it in here, not here. And Jesus heard what happened here. And look what he says, verse 40. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have something to say to you. He said, Simon, I heard what you said, and I've got something to say. And Simon perked up, Master, say on, tell me. Because now Simon recognizes, wait a minute, he didn't hear me say that. So look at verse 41. Jesus gives a parable to Simon the Pharisee. And he says, and there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. So this is the difference of $5,000 and $5. Okay? So one of them owes 5,000 and one of them owes 5. Okay? Verse 41. Verse 42, I'm sorry. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? So Christ is asking Simon, one owes 5,000 and one owes 5. Which one's going to love the forgiveness of the debt more? Verse 43, Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Verse 44, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou givest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth what? He proves the point to Simon in verse 44. And in verse 47, answers exactly why she loved Christ much. This was the woman of the street. She had sold her body. She had sold her dignity for money. But that didn't stop Christ from loving her. There was nothing faithful about her. There was no works of Christ in her or through her. She didn't cut the grass at the church. She didn't work in the nursery. She didn't serve on the bus route. She didn't put money in the offering plate. She was a sinner who was forgiven. No student of the scriptures, no church attendance, but she knew she needed a Savior. What made her fall in love with Christ? Simply this: realizing her lost and wicked state and realizing how good Christ was. That's it. The Pharisee, the righteous one, couldn't give a drink of water to the Savior. But she, who once gave her dignity to men, now gave her dignity to the need of the Savior. Ladies, imagine yourself kneeling at the feet of your Savior, knowing the sins in which you've committed continuously, on purpose, but also knowing that he'll forgive you. And when she realized that, she dropped to the ground, used the hair on her head to clean the feet of the Savior. That is a realization of a need for salvation. Lord, I don't have anything to give, but I can do this. And that didn't earn her salvation. The faith in which she had to do it earned her salvation. Verse 37, I want you to notice this phrase right there at the end of it. To whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. A lot of us have nothing to be forgiven this day and age. A lot of people, they stop serving and loving Christ because they've forgotten what a sinner they were. They don't draw to the Savior because they've taken the Savior for granted. This lady loved the Savior because her guilt was so great and his mercy was so great. How much do you love Christ this morning? He forgave an awful lot in you. Wicked, boastful, pride, lying, cheating. He forgave you for it. But see, when we don't recognize our sin, we don't recognize our need for a Savior. And because we don't recognize our sin and we don't recognize our need for a Savior, verse 37 applies to us. Little is forgiven, so the same loveth little. We don't love Christ this morning because we have forgotten how much he has forgiven for you and for me. I give an illustration. I hesitate to do it, but I do it for the sake of the message this morning. I do it for Christ. I love my wife.
Amen.
I told you I didn't want to do it. We met, first time my wife and I met, we're in 10th grade, and she told me no. I asked her out on a date. She said, I don't know that guy. I ain't going with him. Later on as a senior, we had classes together. We began dating, and over a year later, long story short, in 2001, my wife was in a bad accident. I think it's 2001, is that right? I also lost my Uncle Ray that year. And I had my cousins at the ball field, and we were playing ball while my mom and her siblings would plan the funeral for my Uncle Ray. They had gone out to eat at Bob Evans' restaurant. So I had my cousins, because I was the older cousin at the time, the other cousins were working. And I took them to the ball field to waste time while our parents sat together to plan the funeral for my Uncle Ray. And I get a phone call from, at the time, a member of the family named Timmy. Timmy calls me, says, "Hey, man, where you at?" And I said, "I'm at Cheney Ball Field." He said, "Is that the one over off Substation Road?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm on my way." He said, "Stay right there." I'm thinking, what in the world? What is going on? I'm thinking Timmy robbed a bank or something. Timmy calls murder. I'm thinking, man, what am I going to help Timmy with? Because Timmy, he's in trouble. Timmy's coming to see me. He pulls up to the car. He said, "Amanda's been in an accident." He said, "I don't know if she's dead or alive, but she's on her way to the hospital." I lost it. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. I just knew that I had to go see her. So I hopped in my car and I abandoned my cousins. I left them all at the ball field. And I drove over to where the restaurant was to get with my mom and dad. Because I couldn't see while I was driving. The tears were flowing down my face. I couldn't see. But I wanted to see her. So my dad said, "Come over here, son." He said, "I'll take you." It was at that moment that I realized how much I really loved her. But we weren't married yet. We were dating. I knew then that I loved her, but I didn't know as much why I loved her. I didn't know then, and it's taken me a while now. But I realized that she loved me for who I am, faults and all. She trusted me. She saw the good in me. And that's what made me love her. When I thought I lost her, I thought I lost a lot. Praise God, I didn't lose her.
Amen.
Praise God, I didn't lose her. But that feeling, that emotion, when I thought I'd lost her, because I didn't know love before, but I realized it now. And then because I realized it, I said, "I got to ask this girl to marry me." We had just started going to church. We hadn't been going to church too long. But I said, "I got to ask this girl to marry me. She might tell me no, but I love her." So I asked her. It wasn't the best proposal in the world. It was rather embarrassing. Matter of fact, I did it in a Wednesday night Bible study at church. I put a little box together. I had some flowers in the box, and I had some Reese's peanut butter cups and some Reese's Pieces. And she thought that it was just like a get well, or like a, it was like a "so glad you're okay," because she had just healed, or the accident was like a week previous to that. So she's digging around in this box, but I had hid the engagement ring in the bottom of the box. So she's just digging through the box and she finds flowers. "Oh, flowers, nice, very nice." She digs through, she finds candy. "Oh, thank you so much, candy." And she's, but I know, and a couple other people know, there's an engagement ring at the bottom of that box. Girl, you better find the engagement ring at the bottom of that box. So long story short, she eventually finds the ring and I pull it out and I propose to her right in the middle of Bible study on a Wednesday night at church. It wasn't the most romantic. It wasn't the sweetest, but I loved her. I didn't want to wait any longer. I didn't want to wait. I wanted to start serving with her today. I wanted to start living with her today. We were going to church. We were learning. And I said, "I got to marry her." We spent time together. We grew together. We've loved together. Before those three were, her and I were. And after those three are, her and I will be.
Amen.
And I love her. And I'm excited to kick the kids out of the house and spend time with her. Not too excited. Don't go too fast. But I'm excited about that opportunity because I love her. I look forward and I wish I would spend more time with her because I love her. Our love in Christ is likened unto a marriage. What would you do if you lost Christ? Would it mean anything to you? It should mean more than me losing her. Losing Christ should mean more. How would you handle the death of a son or a daughter? It would hurt, wouldn't it? Where's Christ at in your heart? Because the Bible says if we're not loving him more than our sons and our daughters, we're not worthy of him. But Christ never asks you to abandon your family. He just simply asks you to love him more than you love them. See, it would hurt to lose something that you love. Maybe it would hurt to lose the church. But more important than losing the church would be losing the Christ of the church. We're not in church, boys and girls, because we're supposed to be in church. We're in church because there's a Savior of that church. And mommy and daddy can't give that to you. That's something you learn on your own. And this pastor can't teach you as much how to love Christ as you can on your own when you're reading these scriptures right here. Because he first loved me, I come to the garden alone. While the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear calling on my ear. It's one-on-one time, loving Christ. So it'd be awfully hard to get somebody to serve the Lord in a church when they don't love the Lord. So no wonder I don't have Sunday school teachers raising their hands. No wonder I don't have people jumping to join the church. Because we ain't got people who love the Christ of the church.
Amen.
So my hope is that you learn to love Christ again. And you learn to be thankful for that Christ. What would you do if you lost him? What would you do if you lost him? Would it hurt? Do you feel that same way about Christ? Because it's not the church. We're the called of God who are the church. Great, you clean the church. Fantastic. Do you love Christ? Amazing. You drive a bus and you pick kids up. Hallelujah. Do you love Christ? You're willing to change diapers in the nursery. Awesome. We need it. Do you love Christ? Hung in some signs at the church. I appreciate it. Do you love Christ? Willing to clean the floors at the church. Awesome. Need it. Need clean floors at the church. Do you love Christ? Oh, well, if I get time, I'll come this Sunday, preacher. Do you love Christ? Well, if I have to prepare a special, I guess I will. I mean, nobody else is doing it. I guess I'll do it. Do you love Christ? Well, I see that there's stuff to bring for the big day next weekend. And I guess, preacher, if you need me to sign up for something, I'll go ahead and, you know, I'll sign up for something. Do you love Christ? See, if we love Christ for who he is, if we were the woman who realized what was forgiven, loving him wouldn't be difficult. I wouldn't have to pull teeth to love Christ. I wouldn't have to knock on your door to get you to love Christ. I wouldn't have to beg you to come to church for a big day if you love Christ. Are you serving because you love Christ? Or are you serving just because you're supposed to? And either way is okay. But I sure hope it turns into love for Christ. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Now notice that a lot of people would take that and they'd put obedience into loving Christ. Yes, you should obey if you love Christ. But that comes because you already love him. You don't obey to prove you love him. You obey because you love him. Well, what do you mean I got to dress a certain way to go to church, preacher? I mean, that's just crazy. That's just ridiculous. Well, Christ said that a woman should be adorned in modest apparel. And there is a modest apparel descripted in the Bible. So therefore, if you love Christ,
keep my commandments. Well, that's just legalistic. That's just the church. But Christ said it. I didn't say it. So, do you love the Christ or do you love the church? You should love the Christ, and Christ will love the church. So the things in which we have to accomplish are all null and void if we don't love him. Do you love Christ? That's the whole message this morning. But I'm going to give you 3 points on how to fall in love with him quickly. But first, go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. I want you to go to verse 27. Matthew 27, verse 27. Matthew 27 and verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted there, he could not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head this accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and other on the left. Christ paid a price that he didn't have to pay. They mocked him. He was naked on the cross. They cast lots upon him. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 6 says that they plucked the hairs out of his face and they shamed him. This is God. This is the Son of God. This is in the flesh God who was on the right hand. The Bible says in the beginning, he created the heaven and the earth. The Bible says in John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Christ was sitting with God on the right hand of the Father, who chose to be born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, a blameless life. He didn't cause any pain. He healed. He didn't cause any blindness. He healed them from the blind. He didn't kill anyone. He raised them from the dead. And he did those things for you and for me. And he died on a cross for you and for me. And it's the ones who recognize the forgiveness of Christ and what he did for us that we love him that much the more. Because see, the one who owed 5,000 and realized the debt of the 5,000, that it was completely forgiven, loved so much more than the one who had five. And the problem with Christians today is we sit and we look at it and we say, "But I'm not that bad, Christ. But I'm not that bad, Jesus." And Jesus says, "That's why you love me little. Because little has been forgiven for you." So, how do we love Christ more? How do we fall in love with Christ? Well, the word grace, if you think of the acronym GRACE, G, God's riches at Christ's expense. What is the grace that you have received from the Lord Jesus Christ? God's riches at Christ's expense. They're free to you. They're free to you. So how do I fall in love with Christ? How do you fall in love with anybody? Spend time with them. Long for them. Get excited to see them. Be thankful when you get the opportunity to see them. Write letters to them. Talk to them. Spend time with them. Give to them. Pray for them. That's how you love. When's the last time you loved Christ? Spend time with them. Well, I'll see you on Sunday, Christ. Well, I'll see you in my bus route, Christ. I won't see you on Monday or Tuesday, but I'll see you. I'll see you when I'm cleaning the church on Wednesday. I'll see you when I'm teaching a Sunday school class next Sunday. I'll see you, Lord Jesus, when I change the diapers in the nursery. How do we fall in love with Christ? Three quick points and I'm done. Number one, remember. Do you remember where you were when you got saved? Do you remember where you were when you accepted Christ in your heart? Remember what the truth felt like when you heard it? You remember that it changed everything. It changed everything. So do you remember when you got saved? If you can't remember it, you can't love them yet. You can start to, but you got to get to know them first. Number two, repent. Change your mind from grace only to recalling the love and appreciation for what he truly did for you. Stop living in such a manner that God will forgive you for it. Start living in such a manner that you don't want to hurt him and you don't want to break his heart. Did you hear what I said? Stop living in a manner to which you know he'll forgive you. Because he will forgive you. Stop doing that. But live in a way to where you know that your actions hurt his feelings and you say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to hurt the one I love. Do you like going around hurting the ones you love? I don't. So why would you hurt Christ? Why would you abandon Christ and leave him out on the side? I'll be back, Jesus. I'm going out to the club right now, but I'll be home soon. Love you. Hey, I'll be there shortly, Lord. Go ahead. You go on. You go ahead. Walk in the garden. I'll be there. I tell you what, I got to go out with the girls real quick. I'll be there soon. Go ahead. You go ahead. I wouldn't have to preach so much if we loved him for who he is. Third point, and I'm done. First one was remember. Second one was repent. Third one is this, renew. You can start over. You can start over. Hey, repentance is realizing that I have a need. And I'm not going to do it the same way I was doing it any longer. I'm going to do it differently today. And if you didn't love Christ yesterday, if you didn't love Christ when you walked in this morning, that's okay. Can you love him now? Can you love him now? And it's the love in Christ that you don't want to lose. I don't want to lose you. And praise God you won't. But you can fall out of love with him. Why do people get divorced? Fell out of love. Don't spend time with them. Don't work on it. Don't forgive them for their faults. Take advantage of it. And say, I don't want that anymore. Let's get a divorce. You can't divorce Christ, but you can separate. You can't separate. That's the challenge this morning. How much have you loved Christ? Man, forgive me. It's not about the church. It's about the Christ of the church. Get to know him. He's pretty good.
he's pretty amazing. And if I love him, serving him's easy.
Why'd you choose to do the things you did?
I love him. I'm thankful. I appreciate what he's done for me. If nothing else, I appreciate what he's done for me. So I'll serve him. I will serve him because I loved him, because he loved me. You ain't got to twist my arm to do a whole lot for Christ. I'm willing. Are you willing? Just love him more. Let's stand together.